Thanks to Keeps for supporting FilmSack. Keeps makes easy and affordable hair loss treatment for men. To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/FilmSack.
This is what is known. There has always been man. And there have always been vampires. Give me your gun.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 475. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian, better with a gun than he is with a knife, Dunaway.
Pew, pew, pew. Can't find my knife. Oh, hi, and welcome to the monthly gathering of familiars, where we discuss how to better serve our vampire masters out here in the wastelands. Now, I see some unfamiliar familiars out there today. So let's go over a couple of points that may assist you in avoiding an untimely end like your predecessors. Point one, wear sunblock. We have buckets of the stuff, so there is no excuse. The masters secrete that stuff everywhere, so be sure to apply it liberally. I'm soaking in it. Don't touch me. Point two, don't wake daddy. If there is one sure way to quickly be terminated, it is to wake up your master. Vampires are notoriously heavy sleepers, and if awoken before nightfall, there will be consequences. Okay. New guy, you have a question. Oh, nice to meet you, Billy Corgan. And your question? Yes, I guess in a way the world is a vampire, and it does appear to be set to drain. Oh, listen. Shh, shh. Do you hear that? It's the vamp train. Choo, choo, you Uncle Fester-looking creeps. If you have a ticket to ride, congratulations. If you're not, you get to stay here with reservation with your weak-ass master. Good luck. Say hi to the priest for me. Choo-choo, Billy Corgan! Choo-choo.
The Billy Corgan thing works on two fronts, as you know. The song you referenced, and he looked like a vampire in his later years.
That's right.
Yeah. He's still with us. So you shouldn't make it sound like he died, but anyway.
Yeah. All right, rest in peace, Billy Corgan.
Yeah, rest in peace, Billy Corgan. These days, I worry that may cause something. Anyway, hey, also with us, Randy, rotate your Church City logo a quarter turn, and you're suddenly the X-Men Jordan.
I am. It's true. Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Thanks for meeting up with me out here in the wasteland. So we can go over this here final invoice I got for you boys. I know you're familiars, but you all look like Right Said Fred with special guest stars Vin Diesel and Moby. Anyway, we have a few extra charges for work that came up while we was finishing building your vampire train. I'm going to need your sign off. Let's see here. This one is for the engine in the train that runs on literal hand waving. I know there ain't no fuel stations out here in the perma desert, so I'm kind of baffled at how we built this thing in the first place. Number two, it's a surcharge for making the train about 25 feet wide. We were mesmerized when we got inside that thing, and it was as wide as a house. Woo. All right, let's see. Finally, this here charge is for the extra cost we incurred riding badass crotch jet cycles all the way out here every morning and all the way back every afternoon. To tell you the truth, I don't know how we got anything else done. Just look at them. I could spend a whole hour and a half just watching the boys ride them crotch jet cycles.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'd ride one. That'd be no problem.
They didn't have like the wheels were part of the whole base, so they couldn't turn.
Yeah.
And like you have to lean to turn on those things.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to need you to just back off and enjoy. You need to enjoy this.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I couldn't ride one, though, because every time they had somebody on one of those, they're like, it was holding on like a mosquito on a boat or something. It's like, hold on.
Yeah. You're not wrong. With us also, and finally, Brian, you think that's something. Wait till you see his other tattoo, Ibbit.
Mm. Wow, it's so true. And that's one that's hidden. By the way, I'm gonna also hop on the train. Here we go.
The vampire trains are coming. It's rolling around the bend. And they don't like the sunlight because it burns their skin. Yeah. So they come from Vampire Mountain, led by an old ex-priest. And he used to be my buddy. Oh, God, this is really going to go low.
Oh, yeah, you started too low.
I did it. And he became undeceased. I hear there's vampires hatching in incubation cars and sitting down for breakfast to eat some guy named Lars. But I hear he had it coming, and so we've given chase with my nitro motorcycle and tattoo on my face.
It has to go all so right. Low.
Way too low.
Wow.
Way too low. I love it.
That's I should have, and I almost had chords on my ukulele. I had two of the three chords ready for this thing, but I did not have the third mastered. So
honestly, that was so good. We could just do this and say, all right, everybody, goodbye. We'll see you next week. No, just kidding. No, that all of those things referred to the film Priest. Yeah, that's right. Priest. And some of you are going, wait a minute. I know there are going to be some leftovers who don't follow us on Twitter, who didn't get the news that Salt left streaming. So we had to move forward to our next film on the list, which is Priest. Directed by Scott Stewart, starring Paul Bettany, Gam Gidintendit,
sure,
and Maggie Q.
Right.
His name is weird. Gigandet. Is that right? Cam Gigandet? Do I have it right?
Yeah, that's
nailed it. Gigandet.
Gigandet.
I don't know. It does look like it's the first five letters of gigantic, so why not pronounce it like gigantic?
Exactly. It's based on the graphic novel series called Priest from Min Woo Hung. It's a very cool graphic novel, by the way. I've read part of, never the full thing. This kind of made me want to go back and read the source material because it is probably infinitely better than the film adaptation. However, I'm going to state early and up front here on the show that tonally and settings wise, all right, and all of these things, they speak to me. I know it's going to be a big shock to everybody, but the post-apocalyptic dystopic future stuff, totally my jam. And I'm in like Flynn. This minute I see the visuals of it, a dark city with a permanent cloud, weird Catholicism future where they've become just like horrendously overlordish, and then go outside the city and it's just nothing but like wasteland and freaking old west looking ass future mixed with old timey. Like, that is so my package, man. But then the script is shit. The acting's terrible. The pacing's really bad. And they blow their opportunity here. As in the famous worlds of Alexander Hamilton, at least on stage in rap form, they missed their shot.
So this is a very short, this is a very short feature length film, like an hour 27, half of that being credits.
Half of it being credits.
Right. I have tossed back and forth in this. I've actually watched this twice this week. I don't always do that. And I actually want to go back and watch it a third time. Because
did you fall asleep too?
The more I watch it, the more I like it. And I think part of the reason why is the biggest failure of this movie coming at you is got to be the editing, especially from the quick start that makes it very uncomfortable as a viewer to get into this world. But once you're in it, I like it a lot, even though it's not exactly loyal to the original source material. A lot of these tropes and this mixing and blending of genres has me kind of enamored.
Let's talk really quickly about that cold start, because that actually made me pause and make sure that I haven't accidentally watched the first part of this film and left halfway through.
Right. It was rough. I mean,
it was the coldest open, and there's got to be something you can do that lets people know, all right, we're coming into the middle of a story to kind of set things up, but you are in the right place. This is the beginning of the film.
Yeah. Well, which is weird because so according to the trivia, the whole animated thing was a compromise, right? Like they were going to try to
best beginning.
Yeah. And I really liked it.
I want to see a whole movie of that.
Tarkovsky
did this. And if you watch Samurai Jack, then you,
I didn't know that
coming from,
I didn't know that was a Tarkovsky thing. That's amazing to hear that. Okay. Well, I even like it more now because I really like him, but Yeah, give me a whole hour and a half of that. You know, mm-hmm. I'd have been down with that, and it would have been a better animated feature, or break this out and turn it into a series. Like, there's something to do with this. It's just this PG-13 rating didn't help it. I think it was already gory enough. It could have probably gone R pretty easily, but whatever their decision was, I think it would have been better if they just gone all in on the gore and the mm-hmm. hack and the slash.
I'm actually glad they didn't. This is the same love hate relationship I have with Van Helsing. Mm. But this to me is probably is better in my opinion. But I also like Van Helsing. But is they both suffer from this fun world building that never really gets to where you want to go. The train stops a little short and it blows up and the black hat dies. It's a good start, but it just never gets there.
Yeah. Can we with that go ahead and talk about how much better this movie would have been if they'd given the characters names?
Like priest and priestess
and black hat guy.
Yeah.
Black hat.
Yeah.
I actually like Black Hat.
No, okay, sure. And by the way, Carl Urban looks like a total badass up in Western gear and stuff, and that's cool. But holy ham hawker, dude. That dude is just hamming it up the whole. He is so chewing up the scenery in the worst way. Like, it's just bad. Like, really bad.
I like this because this is a nod to the Bram Stoker's vampire, which is charismatic and overly dramatic. And I actually liked how the filmmaker brought that in and gave it a nod.
Well, it's got cool concept. Like, that is conceptually is very cool. This is what I'm saying about it. There's so many cool concepts. Like, he's the first vampire human hybrid, which is a lot more like the vampires we think of in the way that we usually tell those stories, right?
Right. And this is a alternate universe of a fictional universe. So we have a fictional universe in the idea of vampires existing. And then we have this alternate fiction universe where vampires and humans never intermingle until late in human history. So it's an interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. And I really like that. The familiars idea is very cool. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a cool, everything about the setting and the idea is awesome.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, I'd say, and I'm pretty much on board with what you were saying earlier. On board the choo-choo train, the vampire choo-choo train. Mm-hmm. The visuals on this thing are the best thing about the film. You know, the city when they're approaching it, and the wasteland, and I don't know if any of this was filmed in the salt flats. You'd know obviously better than I.
Oh, I looked immediately. I was sad because it's all that weird empty lake California place, but they used filters to make it look like white.
Yeah. Gray. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's just so cool. And just the visuals of it. Then you get to the action of it, and it's like, okay, this is pretty good. You start breaking it down thinking, wait a minute. All right. He throws the box of throwing star crosses up in the air. They slowly fall down because it's slow motion, yet then he's in regular motion grabbing them and hucking them in different directions.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when it lost me and said, okay, I guess the action, we're in fake-o bullet time here.
This movie wants to pay a lot of, you know, prayerful love toward the Matrix. Mm-hmm. And it you know, it felt like really, really strongly influenced by Stephen King's The Wastelands or something.
Yeah.
And then I kept thinking over and over, I wish I'd seen this 9 years ago. I wish I wasn't seeing this long after Mad Max Fury Road and long after things like Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad basically, you know, sort of like made me expect everyone to be so, you know, dark and brooding all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, it just, I'm certain that this was a much better film to watch and enjoy it 9 years ago, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie it combines a film lover's love for all these different things, including the backbone of this story, which is really the story of the Searchers from 1956 with John Wayne. Mm-hmm. There's parallels there as well, and I think that he just threw everything. From a film lover's perspective, everything that he could at it. And
you're absolutely right that this is a classic trope Western where you have a lawman basically who gets stripped of his badge and decides to go on his own anyway, picks up a sidekick along the way, chasing down the bad guys outside of town, right? And so on. Like the law back in town sends a bunch of deputies to go get him. One of them is a woman who ends up, you know, breaking ranks and so on. Like, it's so tropey in that way. But in the moment, I never had those thoughts. In the moment, I was just caught up in the movie because it's very like engaging, you know, like it never stops assaulting you with these long sweeping shots of men riding motorcycles.
Yeah, like that stuff is just so freaking cool. Oh man, it's so cool, and it just bums me out that the pacing is so weird. In fact, if I had my biggest complaint is they just go from like here we are here now here we are there now here we are here and now we're here like just and there's no like great transition or character development during that. It's just sort of this, in a way it's like it felt like an abridged comic, like the comic the comic qualities are there but they cut out a bunch of stuff. Like this is one of those free flimsy very thin free comic book day comics they give you that's not the whole thing.
Right, right. It gives you a taste.
Yeah.
Right. I need more of that.
Yeah, it's like a taste of it. And it's really unfortunate. This guy's this director has made multiples of these, and he's really obsessed with like apocalyptic religious sort of stuff. Scott Stewart is the director. You know him most recently from this Dominion show that was on from 2014 to 2015 on Sci-Fi that did not get renewed, but a lot of people really like it. But again, very similar thing. An angel falls to earth and has to, you know, fight for whatever. I don't know what Siren is, but apparently that's a new thing he's working on. But Dark Skies, Defiance, this Legion.
Dark Skies, wow.
Legion, that's why you get it confused.
Legion's the other
it's
one.
That, and it's also Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. I mean, there's, like you said, it wasn't necessarily the same director that made me confused. It was the fact that, all right, it's also kind of this religious dark future. And I haven't seen either of these movies. I never saw, saw Legion, never saw Priest until this watching. So
me neither.
When we finally do get around to watching Legion, I was basing it all on what I remember from the previews of these two movies, I guess, and saying, yeah, those must be the same movie.
Yeah.
The pacing of Legion is a lot different and it is a lot more intense.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. I've never seen Legion, but it's weird. These two movies by the same director, both with Paul Bettany, both dealing with like heaven and hell themes, released less than a year apart, like 8 months apart or something.
Oh,
like that.
Look at that. 2010. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Huh. And a lot of the I haven't seen Legion, but I got to wonder if it also has the thing I hated the most about Priest. Now, this is a compliment because this is the thing I hated the most and it's almost nothing. Mm. But my God, why was he directed to do the Batman voice the whole movie? Why why wasn't he allowed to just use his natural voice and accent? It would have been perfect.
Yeah, it would have fit just perfectly. And I don't, maybe Legion does do that, but in this, I was annoyed immediately when I went, oh, you're doing that? Okay, well, you are freaking Paul Bettany. You have one of the best, most famous voices now. You're Jarvis, for hell's sakes. You're freaking, now you're a robot with a thing for in his head.
Sakes, I love it.
Like, you're just so cool. Talk now like you do still, normally. Just say normal words.
He was still dark and broody. When he goes into the, I don't know, it's a character study. But it is interesting that it was the previous year that he did Legion the years leading up to this. I wonder if he did not get attached to this project because he probably used some of that Legion information from the source material of the comic for this one, Priest, because that one is a lot more dealing with fallen angels than we didn't really.
Well, isn't Legion?
We didn't explore that at all in this particular.
Legion's film. Also based on a comic, I think. Not the Marvel comic, obviously.
Oh, really?
Right.
Not the Marvel thing, though. The Marvel Legion is the TV show that was on FX.
Yeah, totally different Legion.
I'm not sure about that.
But that's why I'm not sure, because I don't know in comics if you can get away with using the same names for things like that. Not copyright reasons, but like confusion reasons. Like, you know, there are two movies called Serenity, and there's only one that's good, and we all know what it is. But
for me, I just want to say, for me, Paul Bettany will always be Geoffrey Chaucer from A Knight's Tale.
Of course.
And that is just like, that is him coming, bursting onto the scene as a character actor. And I just like, I don't like it when a director, it's obviously a director's choice here, just strips the actor of their best quality. That's just like, I don't get it. Every time I spent a lot of the movie sitting on my couch going, oh yeah, we're going to talk like this.
It looks like Legion was not based on a comic book. And by the way, if you ever look at the movie poster, and I've never noticed this until now, it looks like the worst Photoshop job of, hey, can we quickly add a gun?
It looks so bad. I mean, it is like, it's cool to think that this, you'd have this ancient sword dagger weapon in one hand. That's cool because he's a thing, right. But also it's a modern era. So let's have a gun. That's also cool. But you know what? Have it in the photo you took in the first place. Right.
There's the reflections, the shine on that do not match anything
else. It's so bad. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, looking at the Legion page, it looks like it was an original thing,
right,
but it is, right. But it does. Dominion, the TV show that we talked about a minute ago, continues from Legion. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so they are.
I didn't know they were connected.
They are connected.
Okay, so
I kept thinking Priest went on to be a TV series because it is one of those long form stories that would lend itself to
is made for the USA Network, isn't it?
Yeah.
yeah. Or you know what? Do it right, and it's made for. It's made for HBO if you do it right.
Sure.
Yeah. Like you, this is what I would
like. But you start over. I mean, if you
100% you start over.
Yeah.
100.
Yeah.
No way they go, hey, let's just make the first. In fact, we'll just show it on the channel. Let's just show that movie again. Yeah. Oh, bad idea.
This movie reminded me a lot of how I felt when I watched the original Stargate movie. It was such an abbreviated attempt at telling this complex
comparison. Yep.
Yeah. And so we got a complex blending here as well. And I feel like it would have been great to be a series.
It's just so underserved. And you've got two of these amazing old guy actors playing high ups in the church.
Oh, yes.
Christopher Plummer that other guy.
Christopher Plummer is just a treasure.
He's so great.
He's now 90 years old, guys.
Yeah.
He was just in Knives Out. I can't get over.
Oh, right.
Christopher Plummer is still working. I actually think he retired. I think he said Knives Out was going to be his last performance.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
But
well, that's a way to go out because it was fantastic.
90 years old.
Man. Yeah. He is not just an international treasure, but that man is as regal and as with it and has the stage presence he's always had in every freaking thing he does, including this, which isn't great. And it's just like, and it's not even enough of him. But when you get him, you're like, oh, you've elevated the material there, sir. Well done.
Really interesting actors that were picked for this film. And I was kind of surprised because I thought this was a much lower budget, but it's actually a pretty large budget with Paul Bettany, Carl Urban, Maggie Q showing up, Christopher Plummer. Also, we had Lily Collins, Phil Collins' daughter.
Yeah.
Know that.
Oh, really?
Trivia. Yeah, I didn't know it. I was like, what?
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
She's in a bunch of stuff now. She did okay with herself. Brad Dourif. Don't forget Brad Dourif.
Brad Dourif.
For me, Brad Dourif is the best thing in this movie.
if we did
cinematography, then Brad Dourif.
Yeah. If we did a Lord of the Rings connection, we'd have a big one there because Brad Dourif and Carl Urban had a really, in fact, this is great because in a way this is revenge because Brad Dourif or Carl Urban tries so hard to get to the Brad Dourif character in Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, and could never quite do it and take him out. And in this movie, he immediately gets to leap across the room, suck all his blood out and turn him into a familiar or whatever the hell he did.
Yeah.
So I just thought, finally release after all these years.
There's a weird thing going on with this film. There's two actors that were born on the same day, and that day happens to be one day before my birthday.
Whoa.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Brad Dourif is born on March the 18th, and I believe as well as Lily Collins is born on the 18th.
Wow.
Yeah, Dourif's a lot older than you, so different year.
Yeah. No, we're not the same age, just the same birthday. Yeah.
Wait, were those two weren't born on the same day and year, right?
Because no, Lily Collins and Brad Dourif, same day. She's a vampire.
Okay.
As well as Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, as we know, is a vampire as well. Yeah.
You remember we were going to watch that Dracula 2000 that we decided it was garbage or got pulled or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Apparently, Christopher Plummer plays a character named Abraham Van Helsing.
Shut up. Maybe we still got to get to that if it ever shows up again. But
well, don't forget about Cam Gigandet. our
no, Gigande, by the way. Gigande. I looked it up.
Gigande. Gigande. Oh, Gigande.
Hicks.
All right.
Hicks Gigande. Was also in Twilight.
Yes, he was. He was a he was a vampire in that. There's a lot of crossover vampire people.
No vampire in this one though. No.
I had to look it up to we have a local pizza chain here called The Rock Wood-Fired Pizza. And I had to look up where locations were because I wanted to see if you guys were familiar with it. It's not in South Carolina, California, or Utah, but it is in like Seattle, Texas, and Colorado. Cam Gigande is a part owner of The Rock Wood-Fired Pizza.
Yes. That should be the large size pizza, the Gigande. They should call it that.
Yeah.
Would you like medium, small, medium, or Gigande?
So does he come in and throw some knives at a pizza, slices it all up?
Yeah.
And,
that's right. Says he's even better with a gun. Yeah. There
are 2 points to this pizza, A and M or F and B.
Handsome young man, but he's, I think, miscast here. I don't think he's rugged enough looking. I think he looked too much like a WB star
like
to me.
Like a CW character, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame because all you got to do is change that guy's like look a little bit. Like, you know how Brad Dourif, like you can see worm tongue in there, but he's always wearing a hat. They gave him the disheveled greasy hair. You know what I mean? Like you can just mess up these guys. They don't have to look like pretty boys.
Yeah.
They did a weird thing. A lot of the wasteland individuals were, you know, like you said, CW looking people all the way from our first introduction to Lily Collins and her family. I'm like, there's no way these people have left the city to look for a better life and look like this. They didn't live in that pollution-ridden place and then head out to the, you know, to the wasteland.
Yeah, everybody should look like garbage.
Yeah. Right.
And like the only thing they've got going for them is an amazing gun. Yeah, like that's it.
Yeah.
How do you survive out here?
Really cool
we
gun.
Have this gun right here on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then of course they pull it down and we don't get to see him use it.
Families in the wasteland was the weakest part of this film because they kept trying to make them modern, you know, 2000s families, but living with this old technology, even though we had jet bikes with digital displays. We had people listening to old timey vinyl records with not even like, you know, 70s stuff, like early 1900s kind of record player.
It's a weird mix. About
the jet cycle, crotch cycle technology was that they also had nitrous oxide.
Nitro.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that would do anything. Like, it seems like you're already going to play out a jet engine as fast as it goes.
Yeah. Well, they also charged it, right? He had a solar charger. So why are you doing that? If you got nitro, that means you've got gas. Why are you charging the damn thing?
It's a hybrid.
It's a hybrid. Right, okay. Exactly. Got it.
So Paul Bettany's best acting was by far the green screen action of him riding those jet bikes, because I believed he was about to be blown off that jet bike at any moment the whole time he's riding it.
Yeah. He looked good.
Yeah, and he's a tiny man, and so like the idea that he was controlling this huge thing in the first place with already, it just looked like he was holding on for dear life. You know,
it was so good.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So good.
Hey, by the way, we haven't even mentioned the fact that dude at the homestead who had to try to ward off the stuff and put his daughter in the basement was freaking
vampires.
Yeah, Stephen Moyer, Suki, the guy from True Blood was in there, and that was a hot, hot rock and nothing for him.
So I guess if you get in with the vampire, you know, movement in Hollywood, I guess you just kind of, you know, hop from one project to the next.
Mm-hmm. Your resume, you know, when you send it out for auditions and stuff is like, like kind of a pale blue, and they immediately say, oh, this guy's done vampire work before. To the top of the list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brian, did you recognize the wife, Mad Chen Amick?
I did, from Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Yes.
I knew you'd.
Shelly. Shelly and the Diamond.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I don't want
Riverdale, come on. Get my Riverdale people up in here.
Oh, I remember the Riverdale existed, but I never saw a single episode. Didn't that have like half the cast of Beverly Hills 90210 as people's parents?
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of did.
And it was still good, right? Isn't that still a thing?
It still is. Yeah. There's So I mean, okay, look.
It's shit.
Watch the first
by the way.
Watch the first no.
I watched the whole first season.
Watch the first season of Riverdale and then stop.
I watched the whole first season. I watched it all.
First season I thought was good.
It was bad.
It was good.
No, it's bad. It's an adult freaking soap opera take on Archie and Veronica and all that.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Generation, that doesn't mean it sucks.
No. See, that's the problem. The concept is fine, and they do this in the comics as well, and they do a great job in the comics. I have no problem with that concept. That's a great idea. But it devolves into the most worst possible, like, relationship-y shit. It's bad. Just bad.
Well, of course it is what it's supposed to be. That's what Archie Comics was about, you know, young teenage relationships. It devolved. It went from being something kind of supernatural, kind of Twin Peaks, and then kind of goes into this, you know, this coming of age that every generation has to do, and has to have actors portray that coming of age.
Yeah, it's like
what is it that makes the whole Archie universe
appealing?
Not appealing, but unique. Like, if you're really just doing a high school drama that's just set in a town that happens to have the same name as the old comic book, there was never, and I know that Archie's gotten dark in recent years, but there was never in the original comics any murder that had to be figured out over the course of a
story arc. They did mystery solving. They did that.
Yeah, but keep this in mind. The dark stuff that you're referring to, of it, is only not only just a recent thing, but it's also still only like little one-offs here and there. They still have like mainline Archie comics that are the sort of purebred, regular old
soda shop and hanging out. And
yeah, exactly.
Backseat of the drive-in with Betty.
Yeah, with Betty, because, and now Veronica's jealous and all that. But it's got this kind of innocent 50s kind of quality to it. It always has, which is why it's fun to take it in weird places, like the zombie thing they did in the comics was great, because it just was bloody and awful. And that would actually be a better show. But Riverdale had an opportunity, is what I'm saying.
Well, they still do because each season they look at it like tackling new genres, kind of like American Horror Story kind of does with tackling new concepts of horror. It's like, okay, well, this season we're going to go with this type of horror, and this season, and Riverdale does something somewhat similar thing.
Yeah,
with different genres.
I have
a top subject here that I desperately want to talk to you guys about. You're my people when it comes to this. So there are. I'm currently rewatching Deep Space Nine from beginning to
end. Me too.
It's probably the fifth time since it came out that I've watched through the whole series. I do this every 5 years or so. Mm. And as I'm going through it, I'm being constantly reminded of the fact that I am kind of wasting some of my time, because there are some stinkers. Like, there are some episodes that just don't need to ever be rewatched again. They're these one-off things. They have no impact, or they're not impacted by the main story arcs at all. And I'm just like, I wish there was an app where someone who really got me and what I like could take a whole TV series and reduce it. Not a lot, but just take out like the 30% of episodes that I don't need to watch in order to binge the whole series and enjoy it. And it'll actually make me enjoy it more. I feel that really, really strongly about series like Community. Oh my God, are there some stinkers in Community?
Sixth season.
Yeah. And right. So like with Parks and Recreation, you'd stop at the end of the actual final season and never watch the revival season.
I don't think that would be somebody who'd really have to get you. I think that's somebody, because I think universally nobody needs to see the Nikki and Paolo episode of Lost. Nobody needs to see the baseball episode of Deep Space Nine, or
there's several. And so you get my drift.
The nightmare episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
The reason I'm talking about this with relation to Priest is because watching this movie, I was like, oh, I feel like that somebody took three movies or a movie series or a TV series, and they went too far with my idea. Mm-hmm. And they cut out so much that I'm like, they didn't leave me wanting more. They left me feeling like I'm missing out, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a problem there. But if anybody knows, by the way, of a website that tries to do this, that tries to supercut series, I would love to know about
it. Yeah, I would love that too. I this is one of those movies where I think it's got major problems. There's a reason it flopped, and it isn't, you know, it's not because it isn't a cool idea. It's because it was just kind of badly executed. And and I can admit all that, but I feel like I'm happy that I saw it because it sparked a bunch of cool ideas in my head. I think part of the reason I enjoyed it more is I'm in the middle of reading East of West, which is this amazing comic run on Image Comics. If anyone's ever never read it, you should. It's this really great sort of alternate take on what happens in history and from the Civil War on, and now we're way in the future, and it's got Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and all kinds of cool shit in it. It's just a really rad comic. I think if you like Saga, you'd probably really like East Love of West. Saga. Anyway, it's on Comixology's Unlimited, so I'm just tearing through those volumes right now, and I'm loving it. And I think because I'm in the middle of reading that, this may have worked even better because there's a lot of similar tones and vibes to the sort of future, this dystopic future it portrays. I think that helped. But overall, I'm like, yeah, I've seen Priest now, and it had rad ideas and made my imagination go places, and that's good enough for me since I already pay for Netflix and it was streaming basically for free. So,
you know, and I got one of those FilmSack movies out of the way.
Yeah.
Now, but
it's funny because Tina and I just binged the whole Snowpiercer series, which also features a train and also features Paul Bettany's wife, Jennifer Connelly, running the train.
Oh, wow.
And, can I just say again, don't you wish you'd seen Priest first? Like, it's just another one of those things.
Yes.
Okay. But did you, real quick, before you go on to your point, Ibit, can you just give me an up or down here, a thumbs up, thumbs down on the whole experience? Did you enjoy it? Was it good?
Oh, of Snowpiercer? Yeah. Thumbs up. I really did enjoy it.
Okay,
and,
good. I haven't seen it yet.
It feels like one of the better premium cable, not premium cable, but not basic cable. What's in between? Like, you know, TBS and FX and things like that.
What do you call those?
I think they're still basic cable, right?
I always call them basic cable.
Premium cable is still HBO, Showtime, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So it's one of the better basic cable series.
Okay. Like, that's high praise because there's a lot of great basic cable content. Okay.
It's not as good as, I mean, at the top of that list, I would put Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Fargo is
another example. Legion of the TV show, I'd say, went places in the second season that I was not expecting it to go, and you know, really turned MCU kind of stuff on its head with that. I guess it wasn't really MCU, it was Fox.
But Mr. Robot's one of those.
Where do we put Netflix originals? Like what?
Those have to be
premium.
Like streaming originals have to be their own thing.
Yeah, I guess so. But they're closer to HBO or more of a premium.
For sure,
cable,
because they have the freedom of doing whatever they want in a world
without Amazon Studios and Netflix making, you know, like Peaky Blinders and Fleabag. Those would have been on Showtime, right?
Probably. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, for sure. Maybe not Showtime. They've been bad lately, but maybe HBO or somebody. Yeah. I mean, think about it.
Showtime.
Name the last really big hit on Showtime, and I can't think of one.
Isn't Kidding Ray on Donovan? Showtime?
Yeah, but is it a huge hit?
Oh, I don't know if it's a huge hit. Yeah, I mean, Ray Donovan, but that's how many seasons old now? Shameless. Yeah,
that's the only selling point of Showtime. Every time I look into Showtime, I'm like, I want to get Showtime. I'm like, Ray Donovan.
Ray Donovan.
Before Internet Studios, what would Marvelous Mrs. Maisel have been on? What would have been the network for that?
I mean, that's funny because that feels Showtimey. In the heyday of Showtime, because there was a time, you know, they had Dexter and they had freaking Californication, which I didn't like, but you know, they had
but they had it nonetheless.
They still had it.
I only watched it for the articles.
Yeah. I watched it for, hey, which actress who's never been naked before decided to go ahead and give it up for this thing?
Right. I was going to use this as their opportunity.
Yeah.
Speaking of, happy birthday, David Duchovny. Can you believe he's 60?
What?
Wow.
Yeah. That's not
what
possible.
A weird world.
I want to believe that he's 60. Get it? I want to believe. Yeah. No, is that true? It's today then. His birthday is today? That's funny that we were just saying.
Today or yesterday. I remember seeing him come up. The left side of my iPad in my home screen is always who's celebrating birthdays today, because I use it for music stuff as well. Yeah. And I remember seeing him on there.
The only sad part about that is he will never look as good as his co-star on Gillian Anderson will always look better than him. She looks amazing. Oh, well.
Don't you think there's probably going to be a revival for David Duchovny later in life? Like, he's going to get to play an old man the way that like Clint Eastwood got to.
Yeah. Absolutely. I always like that too when that happens. Like the idea that Judi Dench's her best years were in her her old lady, like
like her 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, and I love that. And yeah, when that happens to older actors, like I really liked some of the weird stuff you get out of James Garner toward the end, and like I like that kind of resurgence. So yeah, why not David Duchovny, come back?
I don't even think of Tommy Lee Jones as an actor existing before like age 55.
That's true.
Right. Yeah.
He joined AARP and started acting. So
I think of it. Well, and it's like, it's Ehrmantraut, the guy who plays Mike Ehrmantraut, you know, he comes to our attention in Breaking Bad. And then it's like, oh man, he's so good. And then it's like, oh wait, he was in that old episode of Star Trek Next Generation. Oh, he was in that old episode of this or that. And
but he never got his ticket till he was later, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot like who was I thinking of the other day? Oh shoot, I had a name in my head and it just popped out. But there was somebody I was thinking of the other day who was like so great in their later years, and you wouldn't think of him in any other way. Like that's the actor you think of. And in Tommy Lee Jones's case, turns out it is a country for old men. You can have a whole career while you're an old man.
Right.
I came across a resurgence for old men.
Yeah.
I came across a friend of a friend the other day who really dislikes Ryan Reynolds.
Why? And wow. He's nice.
My immediate reaction, but
he's Canadian.
Yeah. And I think he could totally be the PM of British Columbia if he wanted to be. So anyway, my first reaction to that, and it was really strong, was, well, you're going to have to put up with that guy starring in things for another 50 years, because there is just no doubt in my mind that we're going to have middle-aged Ryan Reynolds and we're going to have old man Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. He's never going to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he's a nice guy. He just raised a ton of money for like disabled people. And I don't know. I just like him. He's great.
Yeah.
He's laying around with, you know, what's her name there? Blake Lively.
Breaking Lively,
another great basic cable program.
You know who is amazing and has aged well, and just every time I think he's apexed in his acting career?
Ernest Borgnine.
Mark Ruffalo.
Ruffalo. Always, he looks better every year, don't you think?
He just did like a series. I think it was
The HBO series.
Netflix. HBO series.
It's called I Know This Much Is True.
Yeah.
And I love that series.
There was a thing there was a movie he did that was should have been a contender for Oscars this last season. It was a 2019 movie, and I'm trying to remember but it was based on the Teflon water pollution situation, and he gained so much weight for that role. It was so weird seeing him, and I guess he kind of even had a little bit of that fake poundage added to him for I know this much is true.
Dark Waters. That's right. But I know this much is true. He gained weight for the brother role, not a ton, but enough to differentiate, enough to
make a difference. Yeah.
And then they went ahead and made a series and a bunch of scenes for the first time in my life where I never thought once that this is trickery and that's just both Mark Ruffalo. That show blew my freaking mind. It was he was so good. Oh my gosh. And the fact that, the Emmys are for next year, we think maybe not Emmys. No, yeah, Emmys. Yeah. The Emmys for next year should include that as a limited series or whatever, because it didn't do it this year. So I assume it wasn't eligible yet, because if they just skipped over him, I give up all hope in anything TV ever does. Y'all are idiots, man. It was an amazing performance. It was so good.
Ageless though? Maggie Q in this film. Yeah. She just continues to, no matter how old she gets, she still looks like the same age. She's just.
I wish my last name was Q. That's a great name.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, I'm sure her last name really isn't Q though.
Her last name is Quigley. And I get it. Yeah. Like if you were born Margaret Quigley, you might want to go by a better name.
Yeah.
Anyway, Margaret. Speaking of Margaret Quigley, I just absolutely love that the other priests, which I guess our main priest is the one named priest, but the other priests are priests. It was very confusing. I just wish they'd give them names.
And she's priestess.
Anyway,
I just loved how the other priests were treated. They're badass. They're so cool. We make Black Hat as a villain by having one of them attack him in a kung fu western sequence. Oh, so that was so good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then we don't really need more than that, right? We're just like, you just believe in them anyway. Like when she finally shows up and she's hanging out with the priest named Priest.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, I know there's a badass fighter inside her. I don't need right. You don't have to prove to this.
Did you know when you saw her that she was going to know if she threw two rocks in the right place, he'd be able to climb on top of those rocks?
To run across
my eyes. My eyes rolled. I hated it, but I was like, oh my God.
Eyes rolled all the way 360 degrees back to their normal position. It was so bad.
Right.
Yeah. It was really
but
bad.
I still thought it was my optic nerve.
Yeah.
Now, some of the things that they did in this movie really aggravated me, like that. And the fact that there's no sense, okay, you don't have to wait for a train, by the way, the most explosive train in the universe.
Oh, my God!
You don't have to wait for a train to get to the track where it's going to cross to blow up the track. You can blow up the track at any time that you want. And because it's not going to change the fact that the track is gone and a train can't stop.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So what are you waiting for? Just blow it up.
Also, okay, so my assumption is the vampires are highly flammable because there's no way that train blows up like that. Secondly, there's no way that bike would have done anything. It would just have thrown it off to the side. No big deal.
I mean, yes, it depends, right? Like,
well, she strapped it with explosives.
Exploded with explosives, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot that's what they did. In my head, I was actually thinking that the chick in the bucket in this movie was those damn explosives that never got used.
No, the chick in the bucket was the chicken heads in the bucket.
Right. Yeah, when she gets back to her, there's a whole thing where she gets back to her ordinance and it's now been disabled by the people who attacked her, and she holds up a part of the bomb, and I'm like, oh yeah, look at this. I am showing you, the viewer, this what this looks like. And then later you see that strapped to her bike.
I must have blinked.
It's very subtle.
Totally missed that part. To me, it was like the most ultimate explodable bike, and I missed the whole idea.
I mean, at first I thought maybe that it was the vampires who were explosive, because, you know, lots of times in movies we portray vampires when they're exposed to the sun.
Yeah.
Right.
They burst into flames.
Burn up. Yeah.
But that's not how it's portrayed here in the film. Apparently they're this light sensitive because they're albinos of some sort, and they have
They have no eyes. I don't know how they
have no eyes. Like that.
Again, to creature design, because I think
the
Hive Protector and the vampires themselves, really cool looking.
Yeah. And it looked great, by the way. I don't know who they use for CGI for this thing, but that stuff holds up, looks just fine, looks as good as anything you'd see today. That stuff looked great.
No problem. Best Maggie Q performance for me, Balls of Fury. Balls of Fury is a ping pong comedy. There was a hot minute where the guys who made Reno 911 could do anything they wanted. And so they were allowed to make Balls of Fury, and it stars Maggie Q, and she's amazing.
That is a poorly reviewed film, but I remember wanting to see it.
It's stupid, but it's fun.
I like Dan.
Scrolling through her list of what she's done to see if I have a. Oh yeah, Mission Impossible 3. She was in.
Oh yeah, she's a Mission Impossible mainstay.
Yeah, she's great. She's very cool. I like her. I don't think she was given much to work with here, and it was all kind of one note, but. She has a presence.
That was another thing that you could, of course, complain about this movie is that the heavy handedness they did with the family relations, as you do in these kind of films. You go, oh, big reveal. I'm Ken here. Oh, by the way, we had a love interest before. You know, it's all supposed to appear on the surface as, disconnect. But then we slowly reveal familiar aspects of the relationships. And it was a little heavy handed, or maybe just. Hand wavy?
Yeah, a little hand wavy. I wish we would have gotten, speaking of familiar, more on the familiars would have been fun. I think they were some of the best scenes.
I would watch a whole series called The Familiars. I would watch that. I would, especially that first.
That guy, that the twitchy guy.
Yeah, the twitchy guy that we made like a million gifts of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy was acting way out of everybody's league. Yeah. He was killing it.
Yeah, he was top of his game. He was great. Yeah. I could have used more of that stuff. And one more Maggie Q thing. If my last name was Quigley, I would also change it to Q. I'm just saying. Because her name would have been Maggie Quigley, and that's awful. That's a terrible name.
Margaret, yeah, exactly. Well, and yeah,
Margaret.
And you visualize Quigley. Somebody else. You visualize an older, curly hair, blue haired bingo robber
with a mustache.
Yes, right. Margaret Quigley. You've won the game. Please come to the desk and turn your chips in. Like, exactly. That's who that is.
Our love interest for the film is going to be a woman named Margaret Quigley. Oh, no, that's all right. I think I won't invest in this film. Thanks.
I mean, and the fact, you know, love interest is a funny way to put that because, you know, they've got the whole vow of celibacy thing running through this. And
yeah,
and
they vow of celibacy at that. The church came and retrieved priest Paul Bettany's character, enforced him into this life of servitude.
OK, so help me with this, because this is a plot point I did not absorb for some reason. How did he impregnate someone to get the kid?
Oh, this is prior. He was late in age, the same age as Hicks is currently in this film. He was taken away by the church to be trained because of certain skills that he had.
All right, so Pedro had been to Virginia before the conversion.
Right.
Okay. So okay. All right, that's fine, I guess. I don't know. That seemed weird. Who's the mom? Do we know the mom? We don't know the mom.
Yeah, she died. It was the mom.
That was the actual mom?
Yeah, that was the actual mom, because the brother stepped in to take over.
All right.
Because he couldn't.
I'm just trying to think of a more underdeveloped character than that mother, and I can't think of one. She was so underdeveloped. What?
Why you mention?
Oh, yeah.
Bro,
right.
bro, you mention?
Imagine Amick. Also, Riverdale mom, huh?
Yeah, Riverdale mom.
By the way, Maggie Q is one of the people that is being speculated to star in what's being referred to on IMDb as either the Untitled Female Expendables movie,
which
maybe they should just keep that title, or the Expendables.
Oh,
what is it?
Expendables? That's terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible, but I love trying to imagine what the cast would be for that movie, because it's just so fascinating.
Oh my gosh, let's do it real quick here. You got what's that? Yeah, but who's the girl? Who's the lady that was in everything in the 80s and early 90s? She was in
Mia Jovovich.
Oh, she's perfect. That's perfect. Bring her in. No, that's exactly what we're looking for.
I've thought about this a ton.
Okay,
all you do is bring out the original Charlie
Zoe Saldana.
Oh, Michelle Rodriguez. Yeah.
Right.
She's a good choice.
Zoe Saldana is a good one. Although I don't know, we're not like the Expendables is always aiming for like, hey, let's get all the old guys. But I guess they had Statham and I don't know.
Zoe Bell from Death Proof.
Oh,
don't you want Zoe Bell from Death Proof?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Zoe Kravitz for good measure.
Yeah, why not?
The whole thing about the Expendables is that they're kind of older now. So, like, I want, like...
Oh, put Charlize Theron in charge of them all. Put Charlize Theron in charge.
Yeah, her and Sigourney Weaver and Linda Hamilton.
Oh, shit.
All be like the...
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is such a great idea.
I know.
Why don't they do this? Are they going to do this? They should do this.
It is currently in the planning stages.
I'll give you
the link here.
Actually, just brainstorming.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know why I got so excited.
The poll. According to the poll, Scarlett Johansson, Mila Jovovich, Cameron Diaz, Linda Hamilton, Sigourney Weaver, Olivia Wilde would be a good choice. Yeah. Carrie Ann Moss.
Yeah.
Michelle Yeoh, Uma Thurman, Lucy Lawless. Michelle Rodriguez, Lucy Liu, Maggie Q, Meryl Streep.
They're just naming everybody.
Oh, they really are. Meryl Streep. I'd like to see her.
Meryl Streep could be, she'd be in charge. She'd be like,
she's not really an action star as much as she's just a bad
Charlie on the other end of the microphone.
Yeah, she's the Charlie. Yeah. Exactly.
Katie Sackhoff is a good choice.
Yeah.
Betty White's at the bottom of that list.
Brian, Alice you could make a t-shirt that says Katie Sackhoff is a good choice, and I'd wear it. Because she is. She's a great choice.
In all things, Katie Sackhoff is a good choice.
Love her.
Yeah.
The other
Summer Glau.
Oh, perfect. Oh my gosh. Why don't they just make this shit? Just make it. Go film it.
Because we got this COVID.
Right.
You're right. Betty White is the last name on this list.
She's the last thing.
Shut up. Is it really?
Right under Bridget Nielsen. Right there.
Bridget Nielsen, dude. Another good one.
I think you just basically find the female lead co-stars for every movie that the other Expendables.
No one could cut like Betty White as far as it goes with mental humor, because you're thinking, oh, look at this old lady. And then she comes at you and cuts you with all these, with all this great sharp wit.
They got to hurry, though. She's as old as Christopher Plummer and then some, so.
Ah, she's not going anywhere.
You don't think so? All right. I dread the day. I truly do. Like, as much as it's a meme to dread the day that she would die, I personally dread it because she's amazing.
Never going to happen.
There's a whole list of older women that I'm just, like, bracing for them expiring. Like, it's I call it the RBG list. Mm. And speaking of, how awesome would it be for Ruth Bader Ginsburg to be in this female action movie? Right.
That'd be all right. She's a tough chick. Get her, what's her name from, I just mentioned her a while ago. Forgot her name. Judi Dench. Get her in there. Judi Dench. Oh, yeah. Gets the other British lady. What's her name? The Queen. Francine.
You know what I'm talking about.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren. Get her in there. She's good. Oh yeah, get them all. Get the lady back who played Bruce Willis's wife in the Die Hard movies. Get her in there. I don't know who she is, but
Bedelia, Bonnie Bedelia.
Yeah, you knew her name. See,
because I watched Parenthood.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, sign her up. She's great. She's good. She'll have a perm. She can also,
also much like Maggie Q. Bad name.
Yeah, it's Bonnie a bad name.
I love this topic because what made the Expendables interesting was not the action. The action is just action, but it's like a backdrop for these characters to have sort of mature in introspection, like to have relationships that are way round the bend and talk about it, you know? And like, so for me, like there are sequences in the Expendables between Stallone and Statham or them and Mickey Rourke, where I'm just like, wow, that is really good acting and it's interesting stuff because of the fact that the action is secondary. And so like, I could just imagine this women led version of that being so much better, you know?
Oh, like even, Famke Janssen, get her in there too. Sorry. You just made me think of somebody.
Great choice.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to barf that up like that, but she'd be great in there.
Thank you, Janssen.
I just have another one.
You could probably even do what's her beak who plays Storm. She'd be all right.
Oh yeah,
Halle Berry.
Speaking of, can I have a Trump alert?
Of course. Oh my gosh, this thing was getting dust on it. Here you go.
Where are all the women? Like are vampires?
They're all
are vampires
the Expendables movie? Right.
The vampires are obviously dudes. Like it's just really strange to me how there's no women.
What if they called it, hold on, sorry, I can't go on unless I say this. What if they called this movie Femme Spendables? What if they did that? All right, sorry. You know,
we
you're right.
Discuss 2011, we can discuss. I mean, we had
Expendables.
I don't think it has anything to do with the year. This isn't that long ago. I think.
It kind of does. I mean, it's like right at the point where we really weren't talking about, having anything other than white guys in films.
Really?
I mean,
2011.
There was a discussion. It was an undercurrent of discussion, but in the public consciousness, you wouldn't find that discussion as often. It was there. We haven't even reached the point where we're, questioning award shows and why it all seems to be, a certain way. So, I mean, go ahead, Randy.
I don't know.
Obviously, there were some, like in the scene where Brad Dourif is trying to sell snake oil in a wasteland town, I think there were some women in the crowd,
secondary.
But the movie just left me constantly asking how these people are reproducing. Like, how's there a younger generation?
How are the vampires reproducing?
Right.
Because the
women are back in Hive Mountain.
Yeah. Mm. They made a whole hive full of people.
Mm. Hive Mountain.
Hive Mountain. They made a whole
the only minority in the whole film is a woman named Margaret Quigley.
Perfect.
Right.
We can't, like, I don't always want to hold stories responsible for, the externalities of realism. It's just, I can't help myself. There's times when I'm like, okay, I've seen a lot of consecutive dudes at this point. Where are the women?
Right.
Yeah. There weren't enough. Maggie Q wasn't enough.
Didn't y'all, have you ever thought about they bred themselves an army? I mean, I had to stop and think about that for a minute. I'm like, how do you breed an army? I mean, that's a lot of work.
Mm. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's what they
especially
did
with no women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same thing with the orcs in the Lord of the Rings. Like,
those are supernatural, right? Are these supernatural?
Well, the Lord of the Rings orcs are grown, right?
Right.
Yeah, they're right. I mean, that was the idea, is that they were some dark magic, right? And they pulled them out of the mud, and I don't know, it felt like they were plants almost, but I don't know. Yeah, like it is a weird, I mean, that's the thing. I like world building, but I also sometimes like it when a world builds itself in my own head. Mad Max Fury Road is why I love it so much, is that I don't have to be told everything. I don't have to be spoon fed everything. I can intuit so much from just a quick visual of Immortan Joe getting his weird plastic shell put on him. And I can infer so much from that. When I see a bunch of war boys and I see little kid versions, I'm like, oh yeah, they train these kids and now they become full war boys. And
of course they're war boy kids.
Everything I see, I can intuit and I can build a world and it works and I don't have a bunch of questions. This movie has moments of that, but then there are other parts where I'm just like, oh wait, you can't just go past that. Like, what the hell was this here that you're doing?
Hold up. Yeah. How did you make a train?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's why they just took over an existing train.
And then also, why did you make a train? Like, there's got to be other ways to keep vampires in the shade during the day.
And why is it a Doctor Who TARDIS train? Like Randy said in his intro, you on the inside of the train is like, what? We're inside a mobile home. It is huge. I don't
know. You know what? Thinking about it, it's like, all right, it gets you from point A to point B. You can put a lot of vampires in there and keep them from sunlight because you're not going to do the motorcycle. You're not going to do like a caravan of mobile homes or anything like that. You know, you got to have like something, and it's kind of a juggernaut. You know, if you don't stop at stations, you can pretty much pile drive your way through everything and get to the city.
Yeah.
I like that it showed up at night, you know, it traveled at night and it was like this almost ghost train. It had such had something to it that just made it ridiculous, but also at the same time scary.
Yeah, the train had some mystique to
believable.
It.
Believable.
For sure.
Yeah.
I like trains. I like the Western stuff. My biggest complaint about me trying to get behind feeling at all scared about the bad guy is that they pretended. Okay, so the very first scene is Carl Urban getting sucked into the hive. Okay.
Right.
So then we're like, oh well, we're gonna deal with him later. That's coming up. And then when it does, he's got a shadow over him. His hat obscures his face for 20 minutes and he's talking, but it's clearly Carl Urban talking. And I'm thinking, what do you think you're hiding? Like, don't hide.
Like, it's a big reveal. Yeah. When they finally show him, it's just like, no, it's, we kind of,
he takes his hat off and it's like, I'm a priest. No kidding.
Yeah. Has that ever worked? I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, I guess Vader worked for us as kids when he revealed his parentage, but
Usual Suspects, you know, Kaiser Soze, stuff it can work if it's done really, really well. And
but not if it's in your opening scene and you get a good look at Carl Urban's face.
Exactly. Yeah. When you get and it's Carl Urban, who I know in 2011 wasn't quite the star he is today, but it was getting there. You know, this is like post this is 2 years after the Star Trek reboot. Think of that. You know,
was it really?
Yeah, 2009 was the Star Trek reboot. No. See, that's the weird thing these movies, both this and Legion. I have them so skewed as to when they came out.
Was Carl Urban in, I'm not looking it up, but I'm just trying to remember. Was he in the RoboCop reboot or the Judge Dredd reboot?
Judge Dredd. Okay. It was called just Dredd, and it was amazing. That is amazing. Did we do that here? I can't remember if we did that here.
We did.
I think we did.
Oh, I love that movie so much. I don't know. Let me check quicksack.li. No,
Joel Kinnaman was your RoboCop.
Yeah. No. I mean, did we do Dredd on here?
I know. I'm just saying, I'm talking about like, he was asking about the new version of RoboCop and the new version of Dredd. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, he was Dredd. The other guy was Joel Kinnaman.
Yeah, we've not done Dredd by itself. We've done Judge Dredd episode 3 and 14, Dredd, the one with Carl Urban, we have not done. And we really should, if only as an excuse to watch it again, because I love that movie. So good. Oh my gosh, it's good. That's one of these things done right, by the way. So they get all of the and you can forget all about Stallone and his dumb version, and it world builds without forcing everything down your throat. You just intuit so much. Oh, it's so good. Of the apocalyptic things that Carl Urban is in. That's my favorite.
What happens to a familiar when he becomes a familiar? I mean, what's the body hair loss? Is it like
you don't want to give this away? You don't want to let the world know. No, I think what they do is they immediately have to look like the dude who sang for Is that Australian
Midnight
band?
Midnight Oil. Yeah,
the time has come. They gotta look like that guy.
I like that we have just named every pale bald singer that ever existed.
We've covered it. Well, it's true. Now we've covered it.
Yeah, now we've done it. Wait a minute. There's got to be another one. There's always more.
Moby.
I named Moby in my intro.
That's right. You did say Moby. Yeah. That's too bad. Moby's a little too frail, though. He looks like a little.
As is Michael Stipe. They're the ones you take out really quickly in the city.
Yeah, can't blow on them too hard. Those guys both just fly.
I feel like Billy Corgan
would be a vegan vampire, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. It is.
The vegan is a vampire.
So I tell you, the Hive Guardian.
Oh.
I couldn't decide. I was like, oh, that's stupid, and I was like,
it looked like a Doom pinky. Remember the Doom pinkies?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. But it's basically just a big dog version of the vampires, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked good. I was fine with all that. It looked really again, the CGI in this is actually top notch. It looked awesome. I don't know what studio did it or what
totally convincing
effect shop did it, but it really holds up. It looks great. But then they stupid it up with her chucking rocks and him stepping on them. Like,
stupid it up.
I understand how physics works. Like that. So, you know,
where were we with that kind of film and movement and martial arts at this point? Were we past
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yeah, how far were we?
That was 10 years earlier. Yeah, that was like 10 years before. Yeah. So,
but that was such a style to that you completely forgave any sort of physics issues like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They did it a couple of times because they never implied any supernatural abilities with the priest until they got to about that scene when the priests were leaping higher than a normal human could, and then you start going, "Oh, is this some kind of supernatural?"
He drops down the big hole in mountain.
This is a good example of what I have in my brain as the difference between having powers and having superpowers. Mm. In this movie, it feels like everybody who's fighting has powers. They're super trained and they have really great weapons that they're able to priest moves so fast that you have to slow down time to see what he's doing, but it's not superpowers. You know, like he can't use his telekinesis to break off a tree and whack people with it or something.
Right. But he almost could, especially when he started walking on those rocks and stuff. And I mean, and the way they were jumping out of certain areas, you could tell they were attached to wires and stuff. And it was a little bit over the top at that point. It broke outside of something that I was already doing, which was suspending my belief.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about powers. As long as you're trying to stick close to reality, you have to also satisfy my need for reality.
Yeah.
There are going to be times where I'm like, oh, that thing he does with the throwing stars.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he just do that all the time?
Yeah. Right,
why isn't he not carrying a backpack full of those throwing stars?
Right.
I toss them all up in here. Choop, 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 choop.
Yep.
Okay, that was so cool, man. That was something I actually wanted to be able to do. I'm like, oh man, what if you could drop some stars and you could just like flick them around? That'd be so cool.
I do want to 3D print one of those because they are really cool looking.
And that big cross he had, that metal.
Yeah,
yeah, with the freaking rivets in the and knife. Stuff.
Oh, yeah. But what? Okay, so the rosary beads, I love a lot of these scenes and their slow-mo and all that good stuff. I really dig those kind of things. I know it can annoy people when you get into that slow motion rosary beads falling.
Well, you're thinking they're going to amount to something. You're thinking
somebody's going to slip on them.
Yeah. But it's actually just a beautiful visual.
Mm-hmm,
and that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I was expecting him to like kick them and they go explode or something.
Right. I kept exploding. It's exploding or something. Instead, they're just banging against each other. I'm like, what are we doing?
This was a good reminder that I would have really liked to have spent more time in that city, in the streets, in the kind of Blade Runner-y look of everything.
Yeah. It brings us to the Blade Runner thing. So this tickles all of your, it tickles your Matrix. It tickles your Mad Max fantasies.
Yeah.
And it gives you your Blade Runner.
And it really, where it really got me. I mean, I put a thing in the shared our little Discord thing. So you guys probably already know, but when they're driving out into the desert and there's those giant statues mm-hmm. that are just sort of falling apart.
You are now leaving the safety of the protectors.
Oh, dude. And even like when they, in 2049, the Blade Runners follow up, the way they have Vegas portrayed with those giant naked statues everywhere. So badass.
Yeah. I love the fact that we kept adding insult to injury to our own hubris, and the fact that one of the things we were doing was huddling in cities and destroying ourselves with pollution to the point that we're going to allow vampires to resurge, because the only thing that we have against them is the fact that we can operate in sunlight, but we've taken the sunlight from ourselves. And now the vampires are coming to our cities, and we're not going to be protected. The one thing that we should covet,
it's a pretty simple trope, though, right? There's been lots of other movies that countered on that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure, I would have liked
nothing new here other than it's like, soup is nothing new, but in the right ingredients and served in the right way, it's just like,
this is one of those things that the soup tasted fine, but the presentation needed work.
Right.
It's a really good soup.
Yeah.
Brought out in a paper bowl.
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
Well, you looked at it on the menu and went, oh, look at this on the menu. This looks amazing. Can I meet the chef? And some derpy guy came out and went, here's your soup. Here's your soup. Like it's just not the same as a more competently produced soup.
Derp soup.
Derp soup. Ugh, I don't want any of that ever. You guys, we're going to talk about Keeps. Keeps makes easy and affordable hair loss treatment for men. Yeah, that's right, fellow men. You got the hair loss? Well, how about some treatment for that? Losing hair sucks. 2 out of 3 guys will experience this hair loss of some sort by the time they're 35. Luckily, thanks to today's advancements in science, Keeps, K-E-E-P-S, offers proven treatments that can help treat the symptoms of hair loss and keep you having that hair you love and already have. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast. Many men experience regrowth of their hair with Keeps treatments. You don't need to go to the doctor's office. To get started, all you have to do is go to Keeps' website online to get your medical attention and discreet drug delivery from the comfort and privacy of your own home, which is a nice thing to do during these weird times. Keeps offers their products at half the cost of your local pharmacy, so you don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. So here's what I want you to do. Take some action and prevent hair loss. Get your first months of treatment for free by going to keeps.com/filmsack. That's keeps.com/filmsack for your first month of treatment for free. All right. I got a lot of clips. So,
you have to. How would you not get a lot of clips?
Please let us know who's talking, because like I say, Paul Bethany just impersonates
Bethany.
Is it Paul Bethany?
Paul Bethany. he impersonates Carl Urban at times, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that, like you said, Batman growl and all that stuff, which is stupid. But if there's any confusion, I can surely clear it up. Here's the clips. We'll begin with this one. The boy was mistaken.
The boy was mistaken.
Oh, thank you, Father Cardinal
Christopher Plummer.
Cardinal Plummer. All right. I was really hoping we'd get to know a future pope. We never got to see him,
Yeah.
Because this is just like a cardinal or whatever. I want let's go to the Vatican with some, space Vatican hovers above the earth with a really dark black wearing pope up there going, I mean, maybe probably would have got it in a sequel or something.
Call him Pope Hat.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
I'll get you, He-Man. All right, here's Carl Urban talking.
You're in there for your own protection. If I let you out, you'll be torn apart.
So that was Carl Urban. Just for
I love Carl Urban. I can't.
Oh, he's great. There's nothing wrong with Carl Urban.
Deny his.
I love his
voice.
He's probably told just really ham it up for this. So yeah. I can't fault him for how he did this.
Pretty excited for the Boys season 2 thing.
Yes. Oh, right. Forgot. Yeah.
It's like 4 weeks or something. 3 weeks, mm-hmm. whatever it is. I love that first season. Man. Pretty dark, though. Don't watch it with the kids. All right. Brad Dourif speaks.
Vampires are a vicious lot. I have seen a vampire bite.
Okay. Now, he does the greatest sound in the movie. Ready? Here's Brad Dourif making the best sound in the movie. Go.
All right.
Isn't that great? He's saying all right, all right, because he's like, fine, quit blowing up my shit. Yes. But
All right.
Hicks was blowing up his truck, like blowing out his headlights and stuff, and he freaks out. I love that.
Yeah,
scene.
It was really good. So I'm gonna use that for other stuff. I don't know what for.
I also like how subdued it was. I don't know if you noticed the line later on when he's talking to Carl Urban's character Black Hat, and he's he's like glossing over the priest part. It's like, yeah, the priest showed up, but that Hicks guy, that guy's a jerk. He kept into it.
Yeah,
yeah.
He wanted him gone. Here's an overdramatic as hell moment, I like to call it. I don't remember. I think this is Paul Bettany doing things. So here it is.
You find Lucy.
Yeah, this is it.
You bring her home safe.
Sorry, it's Stephen Moyer.
And you promise me something, brother.
Brother.
Kill them all.
Kill them all.
Yeah, that whole brother was like a wrestling. It felt wrestling-ish.
That felt like they were about to go to commercial.
Yeah, it really did.
We'll be back to Priest after this short.
After this,
Stephen Moyer's character, Owen Pace, just dies. Next scene, they're like burying him.
Yep.
Seemed like he was okay there. He seemed like he was.
Well, that's the pacing, man. Right. It's just bam, 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 bam. Like no time for development.
Nope.
But also, when it got slow, it was boring. So they were in it. It was a weird. Rockin' a hard place, this movie. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Strange. All right, here's some cool sound work. It's the sound of a vampire deciding he's going to fight another day. I love shit like that.
It was cool. Netflix, the person who did the Netflix closed caption for that apparently thought that the vampire was calling for help.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was like expecting more vampires to show up because... Yeah, I was like, oh.
Did anybody else know?
Semi hitting the brakes.
Right.
That's what I heard.
Did anybody else note a little bit too much of a difference between the quiet moments and the loud moments?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I kept having to turn it back down. Like, what did he say?
The mix was a little off.
Paul Bettany's, low talk. Let me turn him up. And the next second, it's like screeching and yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Turn down.
Here, he wants your gun.
Give me your gun.
Okay. Thanks, Batman.
What are you doing? I'm carving little crosses in your bullets. What do you think I'm doing?
I did like the idea that there was something about him doing that, and I thought, oh, he's making bullets for himself. But then it turns out the whole time it wasn't for him; it's for this dude and his gun. But also, why have the cross? What's the point? Is it just the symbol?
Oh well, that's what's kind of odd about this movie, and I liked is the idea that. A lot of things that have classically saved us from vampires are religious symbols. And so, of course, you would run to the church for this. And this is how the church acquired its power. And so, carving those crosses, I suppose, was supposed to
mean something. But I don't think it actually does anything is the point. Because if it did, your city would just have a giant cross out front and all the vampires would be afraid to go in.
You know, that was the... That's the part of the brainwashing, I suppose, is supposed to be going on, or maybe his belief system, or whatever, however you want to look at it.
Right. But also, I think there's an aerodynamics problem. Those bullets are not going to fly straight now.
It's more than that, because it made little sense to me. He was using, what looked like standard bullets in this sci-fi gun.
Yeah, that was weird. Mm. Again, it's a cool nod, but then they don't flesh it out,
in like the real world, there's a long history of soldiers carving little X's on the tips of their bullets. Like there's a belief that causes the round to shatter, to fragment more readily as it hits someone.
I thought they're little kisses. They put O's on the bullets. They're little hugs.
Yeah, little hugs and kisses. It's like that girl in Indiana Jones's class that put "I love you" on her eyelids.
Exactly. Yes.
I always thought
that's always
weird.
Disturbed me. By the way,
me
Someone
too,
used
dude.
A pen to write on that lady's that hurts.
I know.
She couldn't do it herself, right? You can't write with your eyes closed on your eyelids.
It have to be a felt. Be a felt pen, right? Like a ballpoint pen. That would be.
Oh, it'd have to be felt, and it had to be a friend who knows about your pervy love for your professor.
A thin, soft Sharpie.
Yeah.
Right.
Never liked that. always weirded me out. She's probably going to get like, plus it was the 40s. She could get some ink poisoning in her eye. They didn't have good pens back then.
Non-toxic back then.
No. Yeah. No, that was just like the oil from a dead cow or whatever they did. I don't know what they did.
How long ago do you think the 40s were?
We need to kill more cows, get that oil, make pens. All right, here's a priest. I don't know what this is. Some priest thing.
Are priests allowed to have relations?
Are they allowed to do it? Can they do it?
What a weird conversation. Not that did not come up one time. And then Maggie Q shows up and he decides to start harassing her with sex questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see the only other woman in the universe.
Yeah, that isn't like
I've never had sex. And
it's the only one that isn't a mother with a child that they're afraid to have killed. Right. And your first thought is, can y'all do it?
Hey, I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Can y'all do it?
All right, here's a let's begin.
Let's begin.
Some more Carl Urban cheese. A human vampire talk.
A human vampire.
Okay, he's just really over the top. And then something about a daughter.
Where's my daughter?
Okay, that there was kind of an Irish thing there. Where's my daughter?
Where is she at?
Where are those guns, Tommy? Tell me.
Where's my lucky charms?
Yeah, where's my lucky daughter? All right, finally, what is this? Hold on. Oh, okay. This is just some shitty dialogue. All right, I stand by this. I mean this when I say it's bad. Enjoy.
You would have made a good priest.
Thanks.
Don't let it go to your head.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Yeah. Paul Bettany needs to be talking like Jarvis. What are you guys doing? What are you
doing? Yeah, man.
You want to see another good live action Paul Bettany movie? See Master and Commander around
Far
the world.
Far Side of the World.
Yeah, Far Side of the World. He's great in that. He's like second in command guy or like the guy that writes everything down while they do shit in their boat. He's.
What's your job description?
I can't think how to describe
it. I write everything down while we do shit in the boat.
I am realizing right this moment that Scott Johnson has never read any of the Aubrey Matron books. I'm amazed.
What are Aubrey Matron? What is that? I don't know who that is.
A Master and Commander series.
Oh, yeah, I haven't read that. Read either. I love that movie, though. I love it. Oh, love that movie.
Never seen the movie either.
The movie's amazing.
I'm uncultured swine.
No, that's a Peter Weir movie, and you know him because he's done like some of the great movies ever made, and it's great. Oh my gosh, that movie's good. Especially if you like history stuff, it's very good.
I wish I could go back in time and find like a 15-year-old Scott Johnson and give him like the first three Patrick O'Brien books, because that is like, it's made for a boy, as reading those books as a boy, I was so enthralled.
If you went back in time to give this to this 15-year-old Scott Johnson in your DeLorean, I'm assuming, would you dance with his mom? I mean,
well, this is the problem. This is the problem. That would have been, that's funny you say that, Dunaway. That was the year that Back to the Future came out in movie theaters. So I probably would have said, I'll read your books later. I'm off to the theater to see Back to the Future. And I'm listening to Van Halen. Leave me alone. Like that was where I was at in my head. So if you were really going to get to me, you would really have to sit me down and we'd
who's going to win the 1993 World Series?
Right. Anyway, 85, hell of a year. All right. That's it. That's the clips. That's what I have. So as a result, we now move on to this. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Okay, so here's our first one. It's okay. Paul Bettany is used to having stuff permanently in his forehead. Nah. It's just, you know, a gem.
Not for the Power Stone or whichever one he has. The
Wisdom.
Mind Stone?
Wisdom? Wisdom. No, wait.
Oh, there's a Wisdom Stone.
What does he have?
Hold on.
Oh, and his... Isn't Paul Bettany's stone. No.
Isn't it the Wisdom Stone?
Energy. No. Mind Stone.
Mind Stone. Of course it's the Mind Stone.
What? Wisdom
Stone. There's not a Wisdom Stone.
There is no Wisdom reality. Stone. Okay.
Reality, space, mind, power, time. What's the sixth one?
Parsley, sage, kidney stone. Rosemary, and
soul.
Soul Town.
Lesser known kidney stone.
Yeah, he definitely didn't have that in his forehead, but you know.
Right.
All right. Sorry. Where the hell was I? Okay. Christopher Plummer elevates the material. Check. And finally, True Blood guy died early, and that's just fine with me. Check. Mm-hmm. Trek Connection. There's a ton of them, but Daryl didn't send us that list. He sent it to us. He sent us the list of people for Salt. So
I'm because that's what he thought. Because we never let him know.
Yeah, it was very last minute. It's not his fault. Yeah. But Carl.
You gotta go with Carl Urban.
Yeah, Carl Urban and Christopher Plummer are your big two. Christopher Plummer was the Klingon lawyer. Supposedly Worf's great-great-grandfather, by the way, is the rumor. But he was in that in Undiscovered Country, and he was great as the lawyer. He had an eye patch. He was awesome in that. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's your two that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are others we just don't know about. Soundtrack great. I give it an ALTD for a little too dramatic. It was fine. It was just a little too...
Thought it was some. It was some good quality...
It was fine. It was fine. It was just a little too dramatic.
A little too dramatic. A little too big.
Yeah, a little too much. A little too much crescendo just to sort of amplify obvious moments.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. So, I mean, couldn't you say the same thing about Star Wars? Because doesn't it elevate the material beyond its true value?
No, I think that stuff in... I don't think the stuff in Star Wars is too dramatic. I think it's... perfectly suitable, and also
because of the large scale areas of space.
But you also have you have this thing with Star Wars, and I've always said this, and I believe it to be 100% true. Star Wars is a also ran forgotten relic if we don't have two things that happened. No one would care about Star Wars the way that we do today, and it wouldn't be the cultural phenomenon without the music, because you got to remember all the science fiction of the time was all synthy and terrible.
Yeah,
nobody was doing orchestrated themes, so that was huge. And the sound work, the actual sound effects work, is so unique and was so new and so different, and still today has such a unique sound to it. Without
the
those
sound
two
of lightsabers swinging around,
yeah, all that stuff, blasters, the way the ship sound, the way a TIE fighter sounds when it's flying by, all of those things. Without that, I don't think Star Wars is what it is. I just don't. I just straight up think it died, or it was a thing where we're watching it on a film set, going, "What a weird old movie," and we don't. We don't think of any of these actors as much as we do now, or any of that. I think that a whole different history, like, you know, if you believe in like forking history, forking history,
for the good place.
But if you believe like time into that whole timeline thing, there is a timeline where the choice by George Lucas was to use synth and to use bad sound effects,
stock audio.
Yeah. And the world's completely different as a result. Because Star Wars doesn't take off. That's my belief, and I'm sticking to it.
It's true.
All right.
Yeah, this is just loud music.
Yeah, this is loud and annoying. Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Priest, it's the ya-ya ding-dong of movies. You want to hate it, but all these other drunks love it. And after you've survived a mass murder and a trip to Scotland, you come back and settle down and have a baby and realize you love this thing. Go, Priest.
Go, Priest. I like that. Let's see. Brian Dunaway, you're next.
Oh, Priest. This is what is known. There have always been bad movies. There have always been good movies. This is a good bad movie. Yeah. However, it makes my eyes ache. Eyes ache. His name is Isaac.
Yeah, it's Isaac.
Oh, Isaac.
I get it. I like where you went with that. That was very good. And now, finally, Brian Ebbett.
Priest, there are always two points, point A and point B. Unfortunately, this movie missed both of them.
Oh, they missed the points. Well done.
Burn.
That's pretty good. It is a big burn. All right. Well, you've done well. So now this. Alternate titles just handed to me. Mad Max Beyond Catholic Dome.
Oh,
or my favorite, Mad Max Fury Robe.
Ron's Catholic Town.
I really leaned into that one. All right, Will wrote in. This is Randy's son. Will, he's like 11 years old now, so 10 or 11.
Wow, he's 10. Yeah, got it.
He wrote in, says, "Hey, so I've been listening since the early days, and you guys have managed to keep me entertained for the last decade, where other podcasts have lost my interest eventually. Well, that's good to hear." Anyway, arse kissing out of the way, I read Dune for the first time about 6 weeks ago, and try as I might, the inevitable viewing of the David Lynch Dune film assaulted me last night. As soon as it was finished, I thought, I better go listen to the Film Sack podcast about the film, because of course there was an episode dedicated to the mess I just watched. After regaining my composure, I'm not sure how you guys haven't covered this film yet. He's going to be real sad at the end of this. Such as an odd blockbuster, and I'd really be interested to see what someone who hasn't read the book thought. Worth a thought, not streaming here in Bonnie, Scotland, but I'm sure it will be in 1,000 available services on your side of the pond. Keep up the great work and cheers. Well, Will, I have good news for you. We did sack Dune.
Yes, we did, and it's in the archive.
It's in the archive.
So you may have not seen it.
Yeah, so here's what you want to do, and I use this email as a way to remind everybody that if they're looking for the old episode one up through, I don't know, we have the most recent 200. We have the most recent 200 or so on the new feed, and then the old feed is just huge. So to not destroy my bandwidth and cost me an arm and a leg, we keep a separate feed for the older stuff, and it gets, you know, at the tail end of the new stuff, things get thrown on there. But anyway, long and the short of it is that feed is on the website, filmsack.com. Whatever player you use, if it's Spotify, if it's like Downcast, any of the apps, iTunes, whatever, you just manually copy that thing over.
Right. If you go to the FilmSack website and you look underneath each of the posts, there is a link to the archive RSS feed.
Yeah,
right?
And it's also on the main page right next to the art. You just can't miss it. It'll say archive feed, and you'll get it.
And if you're just Googling for it, just Google for FilmSack number 32. It was in our first year.
That's right.
I remember I was living in Hawaii. I remember exactly where I sat and watched this movie, Dune, in June of 2010.
Yep.
It's number 32.
32 is the number. The feed is available. There's a treasure trove of old episodes that you have not experienced. So if we have not bored you yet, good news. We will now.
We have. You've missed so many opportunities for us to bore you.
Yep. Now comes your final one. One final quick email from David Helvenring. Something like that. Hey, guys. It's very nice to have a hell and a heaven in one thing for the thing we're doing today. Anyway, it says, hey, Scott, quick request. Would you consider changing the image for the FilmSack archive? That's the one we're talking about. To a different image. Maybe the one that you use for, or one different than the one you use for the show. Both podcasts are on my device, and I have the same image for both feeds, and it confuses me sometimes. If not, no big deal. I just thought I'd ask, but it would help me visually distinguish the feeds better. Thanks. David, I'm doing it today.
That's a good idea, cool. David.
Just make the popcorn have his eyes closed for the archives.
Or use the previous logo. Like you had an older logo.
Oh, the bag.
That's what he was saying, right?
Yeah, there's something like that. I'll do something that just absolutely distinguishes it so you don't wonder or ever get confused again. And I don't know why I didn't think about it before. So huge thanks for that. Because all I did was just, you know, the RSS info was just copied over for the archive and I didn't even think about it. So we love this kind of feedback because it reminds you, oh shit, this one technical thing I could have done 3 years ago and I didn't do it.
Quality of life improvements.
Yeah.
Always happy to consider those.
Yeah. Like a nice pair of like some nice steps, you know, those are good to have. And instead of a ramp, or maybe a ramp's better. I don't know what I'm saying. Forget it. David, we appreciate your email. And if you want to be like David or Will, you can send an email to us via the internet via this email address, filmsack@gmail.com. That's filmsack@gmail.com. Our next movie will be, I don't know.
Salt.
It will be on Angel Has Fallen, starring Gerard Butler, Morgan Freeman, and Nick Nolte. We're skipping over London Has Fallen because we can't ever get it to stream for us. So we watched Olympus Has Fallen. We're skipping London and we're going straight to Angel Has Fallen.
What?
Yeah, you know, Paul Bethany. It's like that. So wait a minute.
I love listening to Brian Dunaway's reaction.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, right. Angel has fallen. Angel has fallen.
Oh, Angel's fallen.
Yeah,
okay.
Angel would be like the Spanish way of saying it, I guess. But yeah,
angle going down.
Angle has fallen. It's now obtuse.
Yeah, very nicely said. Oh my gosh, a math joke. I can't believe we got one in. So wait a minute.
Take that, math nerds.
Where does this one take place? Is it in back in the U.S.?
It's back in the U.S. It's on. Yeah, I watched this one recently.
Of
course you did.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. I have the Blu-ray.
Of course I had the Blu-ray.
And what's his name is the president now? Because Aaron Eckhart's done, right?
Right. Morgan Freeman is our president.
Okay. All right.
Is that a plot point of London Has Fallen?
I think so. I think in London. Aaron Eckhart. I think that's when the transfer of power happens. I don't know if he dies or if he just doesn't run again. Morgan Freeman.
He's like, I'm out. This is too happening too often.
I'm hoping that question will be answered in the first minute of recap. In Angel Has Fallen.
it's our hot movie summer, and I'm telling you, this came out in August of last year.
Yeah.
So this is a genuine summer.
I think it's officially the newest from release to watch we've done. I think, except for that time we did the new Star Wars in 2017. I think that was about the same. Well, that was probably less time. So, but I don't know if you can count that. That was like a weird one off. So I think this is our most like came out and we watched it soon after time frame. And
it's funny because I did watch it and it doesn't feel like a movie that came out in the last 2 years. It feels like a movie that came out 5 or 6 years ago.
It feels like a movie that came out in the '80s with Bruce Willis trying to stop the Nakatomi Plaza from getting taken over. Yeah. But that's the template, right? These are diehard movies. Mm-hmm. So we're watching that for our red hot. What is it? Wet hot summer.
So
wet hot summer.
for Brian Ibbett's enjoyment of making acronyms, I've changed it. So it's now summer hot action movies.
Oh, I like that. Summer hot. Yeah.
Oh, can we do something with an E at the end?
Oh, that's good.
it's our summer hot action movie event. And we're just
I love it.
Event is the right word. Well done.
Perfect.
All right. That'll do it for us this week then. We'll be back next week with more fun here at FilmSack. FilmSack.com is our website. You can email us at FilmSack@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @FilmSack, and you can find all our Twitter accounts at the website. So please feel free to follow us and talk to us. For many of us, our DMs are open. Slide into our DMs. Slide into them. That's what the kids say, right? That's a thing. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I'm Bruce Man.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
All right.